I suppose you wondered if we're going to finish the book of 1 Corinthians one of these days. Well, we're making a stab at going forward tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll read a few verses here. Some of us know this passage of Scripture because of verse 13. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. But what precedes that? Begin with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye would be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. That's the Red Sea. The cloud was the Shekinah glory that led them from Egypt through the wilderness. And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all identified with Moses, immersed in that cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. You know, you've heard it before. Maybe you thought it before. I'll never fall. I'll never fall. I'll never go wayward. Now, as you look at this passage of Scripture, I think there's some interesting things to look at. As you read it, you probably noticed the many alls. The many alls, A-L-L. All our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. And were all baptized. Did all eat. Did all drink. All. Every single one of them had the same privileged experiences. Every single one of them had the same privileges, opportunities, spiritually. Every one of them. All of them had shared in these same privileges, same spiritual opportunities. Can you imagine that? They all were encased in the Shekinah, the glory cloud. Can you imagine that? The very presence of God. All of them, the Bible says, were baptized unto Moses in the cloud. They were identified with him as their leader. And in the sea, as the walls of the sea were up there, there were the people, and Moses, from an eyesight standpoint, underneath the water, weren't they? I mean, they weren't underneath the water, but if you look from the side, they were, because they were below the water level. That gives you another good idea how high the water was. They had this privilege of the great man of God, Moses. I mean, I don't think we understand in Orthodox Judaism how high they hold Moses. And it says, they all did eat the same spiritual meat. They all did drink the same spiritual drink. You know, they all had the manna, didn't they? Every one of them. Wake up in the morning, there's the manna. Get breakfast, lunch, dinner. A miracle of God. Moses struck the rock. Out came the waters. They all participated in these tremendous miracles, blessings of God. Huh. And so we find all these people. All. Now we have a picture here. You know, we have a picture. People say, well, you know, I didn't have the same opportunities as you. You know, you had a good home. You had better opportunities than me. I got an excuse not to make it. Now he's making it, he's setting the case. No excuse. There's no excuse. And he's saying it from the standpoint, here are these about 2 million people. They all had the same spiritual privileges. They had all the same spiritual privileges. They all had the same opportunity. They all experienced the same wonders of God, the same presence of a mighty God, etc. All of them. But then we have a change from all to many. Many. It says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Many. 400,000 men. 400,000 men. That was the many. All the men over 20 years of age. Who did not believe God. Except for Joshua and Caleb. Many. Many. With many of them, God was not well pleased. You know what? God's painting a picture for us. God is painting a picture. I hope you're getting the picture. Now, notice the picture he's painting. he's given us a little insight into that. Verse 12. Wherefore, and we'll come back to this, but wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands, take heed, lest he also fall. What a picture he's painting. They all had these same privileges. All. Many. Can we interpret that in light of the facts? Most of them, he was not well pleased. And this is in light of the fact that people say, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm fine. Don't get on my case. Don't get personal now. He's painting a picture here. You know, may I make it kind of blunt? If all those people who professed salvation in fundamental churches or any church, we're still standing for God? You wouldn't have churches of 100. You would have churches of thousands. 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 There's a picture that's being painted here. You know, even from a weak standpoint, this, I hate to call it a church, but this place down there in Illinois, Willow Creek, they did everything to take repentance out of the gospel, to make the church consumer friendly, to minimize holiness, to make it entertaining. You know, free popcorn, whatever. Might be an exaggeration. Probably true. And a few years ago, they did a study. They said over 90% of the people that we so-called reached are not any longer following God. 90%. And that's with a gospel without repentance. 90%. They said, we're doing something wrong. Yes. So, let's paint the picture that God is painting here. All, most, I'll put a different word in there, because when you're talking about, I don't know exactly the number, 400, maybe, I haven't added up my Bible, 400 some thousand men, and only two of them stood, I'd say that's most, right? Okay, so I'm not trying to change the Bible, just trying to illustrate it. Most! Now, I'm saying that to make your thinking right, because people don't like it. People don't like it. You say, what do you mean they don't like it? Because they don't like it. That's why I'm saying it. They don't want preaching against sin. They don't want to be warned. They want to be told the way it is. They're not going to fall. They got it all put together. It's going to be fine. The Bible's painting a bit different picture. It's not much different from the picture that Jesus painted. Broad is the way. Wide is the gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And few and many there be on that way. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. And few there be that find it. Is that any different than this? No, it's no different. And the Lord's painting a very important picture. Now, notice, what's he saying? He's saying that now he goes to another word. He goes to the word some. Okay? Now let's talk about the some. You know, they didn't all fall the same way. It says, verse 7. Neither be idolaters as were some of them. Some of them. Some of them were idolaters. They sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Could be a reference here to Aaron and the golden calf. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them got involved in that departure from the Lord. Then he says about another some. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed. Talking about the Moabites. Numbers 25. And 23,000 were killed. Fornication. And Balak hired Balaam to curse the people of God. And Balaam couldn't curse the people of God because God loved them. But he wanted Balak's money. Because Balak was offering him a lot of money to be a false prophet. And so he says, you know, I want your money. I tell you what, we can't curse them, but I can tell you how you can get them to fall so God will have to judge them. He says, all you got to do is take your young women, your beautiful young women, and have them seduce the young men. And they'll seduce the young men. And the lust of the flesh is mighty powerful. And they'll not only be seduced physically, they'll be seduced spiritually. And they'll worship Baal Peor. Some of them fell through idolatry, some through fornication. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Now there's those that were tempting the Lord. Let's go there for a minute, Numbers 21. Verse 4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people died. They complained against God. They complained against God's will. They complained against the difficulty of the will of God in that particular situation. And they spoke against God, and they spoke against Moses. And some of them tempted God and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer, the murmuring of the people. Now, what is it saying? Not everybody gets bit the same way. You understand that? Not everybody falls the same way. Let me give it to you in a simple illustration that maybe you could understand. There's a family visiting our church. And they were in evangelical churches all their life. But they were in one even new evangelical church, and the music got so bad they just couldn't stand it any longer. So they came to visit Quantico Baptist. And the man said this to me. He said, you know, that church is full of people who are very unhappy with the music, the worldliness, everything that's happening there. There's a lot of old-time Christians there. They are very unhappy. And I said to them, well, why don't they come here? Oh, every one of them has their own issue. Every one of them has their own issue. One of them wants to go to the movies. One of them, you know, they want their daughters to dress immodestly. Some of them want a social drink. Some of them don't like what the Bible says about divorce. Some of them don't like your position on dancing. Some of them, whatever. It only takes one. It only takes one issue. That's all it takes. One issue. It doesn't take 10 issues to get you on the wrong path. All it takes is one. You understand what I'm saying? All it takes is one. And not everybody's going to fall for the same temptation of the devil. I mean, if everybody fell the same way, it'd be easy. You only have to preach against one sin. But what does pride say? Oh, there we go. What does pride say? Pride says, I got put together. I'm fine. I'm not going to fall. This one area, no problem. This one area, no problem. I can handle that. That's all. But you know what? What's God saying? Only takes one. It only takes one. And the devil knows that. It only takes one issue. That's all it takes. And just think about it from a practical standpoint. Yep, got all these issues. And the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And it better take a stand on all of them. Even the ones you don't like us to take a stand on. Even the ones that you don't want. You say, I like everything but that. Yep, that's all it takes is one. All it takes is one. And you know what? People will throw the baby away with the wash water. You know, everybody has a personal issue. You understand that? Everybody has a personal issue that could be the end of them, or their right responding to it will be their victory. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. You know, another issue, Billy Graham. Now, he's almost with the Lord now, but I think he is almost with the Lord. Some people take issue with that. But you know, when I was a young preacher, Billy Graham was a big issue. And people would throw away everything because of Billy Graham. They would leave a fundamental church and they would go to a compromising, weak-kneed church, destroy their family over Billy Graham. You know, when I was a young preacher, it was long hair. It was long hair. And if you preached against long hair, hey, I'm out of here, you bunch of legalists. Didn't matter, the Bible said something about it. And you know, there's another issue. Smoking. Smoking. Yep. Smoking. Do you realize that there's thousands of people who left Bible-believing churches because the preacher dared preach against smoking? Smoking cigarettes. I don't mean, you know, campfire smoking. Smoking cigarettes. And then guess what? Then the liberals decided smoking was bad. In places like Madison, Wisconsin, outlawed smoking. Now even the new evangelicals are against it. But I was alive when people left churches over smoking. You know, but there's the opposite as well. There's the opposite. You see, you might be all right all the way wrong, but you're going to get stuck on one issue. And that's going to be your downfall. One issue. And you'll throw away the baby with the wash water. You'll compromise the Bible. You'll go to, or you'll identify with a church, a denomination that's apostatizing. You'll give up truth. You'll give up lifestyle just because you're against that one thing. I've seen it a million, maybe not a million, but a lot. Expression. And you know what? That's exactly what the Bible says. You know, talk about the ranges. Knocked in the ranges door. I knew they were involved in New Evangelicalism because they had a bumper sticker on their car called "I Found It" from Campus Crusade. And as we walked on that door, I says, you know, in my unbelief, I says, "That won't work out. It won't work out." I knocked on their door. I guess they didn't have to knock on the door because Mr. Range was outside. Okay? And it was their moving van that I was behind in my car on the way to work the day before. And I prayed that God would lead us to that family that was moving in. That was the family. But you know what? I don't think we've been talking for 15 minutes. And guess who came up? Billy Graham. We talked for Billy Graham, about Billy Graham for hours. They came to church the next morning. Did we go to your house that afternoon? After evening service. We were there for hours. What was the subject? Billy Graham. Billy Graham. Came from a Southern Baptist church. Yep. Billy Graham's denomination. That was their sacred cow. It was the test. It was a test. It was one issue. It was the test. What were they going to do with the facts? What were they going to do with the Bible? Were they going to live on personalities? Were they going to live on the sacred cow, the Southern Baptist? Were they going to go by the emotional appeal of this great man? Or are they going to go by the Bible? It's a test. One thing. Just one thing. You know what? There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not tempt you above that which ye are able. God will never, in his sovereignty, put an issue that is bigger than you in your lap. He'll never face you with a decision that is beyond your ability to make the right spiritual decision. Never! That's what my Bible says. And this is the context. God is faithful. He will provide the way. There's only one way of escape. He will provide the way. You know what? There is only one way. To submit to what the Bible said. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Billy Graham associated with unbelievers. Yoking together in the campaigns. Putting unbelievers on the platform. Having unbelievers, apostates, pray. Having unsaved people be a part of the counselors, etc., etc. Clearly against the Bible. But a great national figure who's going to see through the cloud a religious euphoria and come to the facts. Got this big, big cloud, and there's just this tiny little path right over here. This tiny little path, what the Bible says. That's what life is. Life is like that. In our pride, we say, we're fine. In our pride, we're fine. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do this. I don't go there. But you know, this one thing, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. One thing. That's how it works. He's saying, this is how life works. And not everybody falls the same way. You understand that? Not everybody falls the same way. Some this, some that, some this, some this, some that. Got all these other things right, but not that one. And so, you know what? 23,000 in Moab. And they said to God, this is facetious, God, you made a mistake. God, you know I didn't do that, and I didn't do that, and I didn't do that, and I didn't do that. Don't destroy me. Don't destroy me. Isn't that how we think? No, the fact is this. You go that pathway, doesn't matter what you did, who you are. You go that pathway, it will destroy you. Understand that? It will destroy you. All it takes is one issue. And this is how it works. People will take one issue. Now, they don't do that with compromising churches. Do you notice that? They don't do that with compromising churches. Because there's tons of issues. They're Pharisees. They're real Pharisees. They strain a gnat and swallow a camel. You know what I'm saying? Strain a gnat and swallow camel. So here's this church that preaches against their problem. They don't agree with it. And so what do? You know what I'm going to say, right? They're going to throw out the baby with the washwater. They're going to compromise in this area and in this area and 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 this area. A big, long laundry list. But you know what? It doesn't matter. In their minds. It doesn't matter. Because that person said such and such. Or the preacher preached against such and such. How dare him? Who does he think he is? He knows everything? You ever heard that about me? Who is he? Who does he think he is? You know, so-and-so disagrees with him and so-and-so disagrees with him. You know, you've heard it, right? One area. That's all it takes. One area. Now notice what the conclusion is. Here's the conclusion. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from what? Everybody. Idolatry. Hey, I'm not worship no statue. Bad English. What is an idol? You missed the point. An idol is any one thing that you love so much that you will choose it rather than obeying God. An idol is anything that you love so much that you are willing to disobey God to keep it. Understand? Think people have idols today? Yeah. All it takes is one idol, right? One idol. Hey, you know what? The preacher preached against professional sports. I love professional sports. And to think that he dared say that professional sports is an idol in your life if you will skip church for it. How dare him say that? Step on my toes. I'm out of here. Well, maybe I won't leave, but I'm just not going to listen anymore. You know what I mean? An idol. He dared touch my sacred cow. You know, that's what it is, right? A sacred cow. And you know what? Think about it. Everybody has a sacred cow. And the pastor didn't preach against sacred cows, there'd be wouldn't be any sins to preach against. If he was supposed to protect everybody's sacred cow. Right? And you don't want the pastor to preach against something, take a stand on something? Guess what? There's 100 issues that somebody doesn't want the preacher to take a stand on. But it only takes one for you. Just one. For any person. To be the issue that causes them to go the wrong way. That's the way our real church is. Sad to say, it's called a precarious pathway. It's a precarious pathway. And you know, people, oh man, they want the pastor to preach against whatever that they think is wrong. And go to it, preacher. But don't dare hit their sacred cow. You understand what I'm saying? Don't you dare hit the one that's close to home for me. Yeah. Everybody's got a key to their life. Everybody's got a key to their future. Every unsaved person has a key. Do you know that? Jesus knew how to pick the key. Woman at the well. I have water to drink of which you'll never thirst again. He knew the emptiness of her life because of her sin. He knew exactly the key of her soul. He didn't talk to her about gardening. He talked about the issue that was the issue in her life. But you know what people want? People, they say, Pastor, don't preach on it. Don't preach on it. That's the issue that my friend has a problem with. Don't preach on it. Preach on gardening. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about reality. Now, take some time to meditate on this passage of Scripture. Take some time to meditate on this passage of Scripture. And I'm not expositing every single verse in detail, which we could do. And it's worth, each one of those verses is worthy to do that. But we're talking about the issue, the picture that is painted here. For some, it was this. For some, it was this. For some, it was that. For some, was that. There's a thousand different ways for the devil to get you. It only takes one. It only takes one. Now, in God's grace, you don't have to fall. We don't know what that one is. But we don't have to fall. Even though that temptation is going to be disguised, God, this devil doesn't advertise, this is your life. This will lead you down to the wrong path, and it's over once you get on that path. He's not going to advertise that, is he? It's a secret. He's subtle. We don't know that. That's the big decision. So, the Bible says there's no temptation taken such as man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation provide the way of escape. And you know what that simple way of escape is? It's called obedience. Lord, I will obey you in everything. You know, we don't have the privilege to choose which way we're going to obey God and which way we're not going to obey God, because we don't know which one of those temptations is the biggie. And for a thousand different people, it might be one different thing for every one of them. Him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest ye fall. I'm fine. I'm okay. I don't need to be totally surrendered to God. I can pick and choose how I'm going to be surrendered. I can be resistant, go my own way in at least just one area, right? Flee from idolatry. Free from whatever that is. Maybe it's stamp collecting. I don't think anybody's a stamp collector here, so I can preach on that. Praise the Lord. Nobody's going to get offended. But it could be an idol, couldn't it? I love stamp collecting. And therefore, I'm going to be a good one. And you know what? There are some people who are not the right kind of people to be around. But they're good stamp collectors. And they have the kind of stamps that I need. And I need to develop a friendship with them because I want to be a good stamp collector. Guess what the idol is? Stamp collecting. Stamp collecting is so important, I'm willing to violate biblical principles. Evil communications corrupt good manners. But you know, if a person isn't willing to obey God, if something is an idol, obedience to the scriptures becomes minimal. It's really not important. I can get by in this area. Isn't that how it works? Heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and so is the devil. And so, we have a tremendous, tremendous picture of what the Bible says the last days will be like. Isn't that amazing how it puts that in there? Now, all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, unto whom the ends of the world are come. In the day in which we live, it is very important for us to recognize that this is the way life is. You know, I read about the early Welsh settlers. I'm Welsh. I was doing history on them. And I realized that when those Welsh settlers came to this area, they had a rough life. They worked from sunup to sundown every day, except Sunday. And their wives worked alongside their husbands every day, clearing the woods, blasting out stumps, clearing the land. And the wives, not only did the men work all day long, but the wives worked not only all day, but all night. They'd have to do the sewing, the cooking, the mending, till late hours of the night. Their life was filled with work. They didn't have much time for sin. Their life was filled with work. Every day they just fell in bed with exhaustion. They were so glad when Sunday came out that they could have a day off and go to church. I remember a funny account. They were in their own houses, in their own places, working hard, 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 and they almost had no communication with even the neighbors. They were working so hard, oftentimes. And this one lady showed up at church on Monday. She lost track of time. She lost track of time because every day was the same. Work, 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 work. But you know, in the last days, there's lots of opportunities for sin, isn't there? We have a world full of opportunities for sin, full of opportunities to throw it all away in one thing that is disguised. But there's a warning. There's an example. Precarious, yeah. That's precarious. God's grace is sufficient. Guaranteed success if we obey God. If we obey God. If we flee from idols. If we flee. But we need to be warned. Most of them in the wilderness, he was displeased. And it's the same today. Most. Many. Many, 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 most. Start off well. They don't end well. It's a sad commentary. But it's real. Is God speaking to your heart? Have you sat here tonight saying, coming into the service and say, well, I'm pretty good. I don't need to be really careful though. Yeah, we do need to be real careful. It only takes one. Only takes one. Why don't your preachers stop preaching? The whole list. Because everyone has a different one. No. Preach the whole counsel of God's word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the great picture we have in the scriptures tonight. A picture that needs to be understood in the day in which we live. Lord, we know that it is our job as a preacher to give warning night and day. Not a pleasant job, certainly not always appreciated, not always understood. But there's destruction lurking behind many, many different shadows. And Lord, everybody has the opportunity that knows you to be successful. But there are some definite realities that we all need to have. And Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would use your word. I pray your Holy Spirit would have been able to overcome the pride of resistance. And brought a place of the fear of the Lord. A humbleness that says, I need to be careful. I need to make sure I obey in every area. And so, Lord, work in hearts, even now. As we bow our heads and close the service, I wonder, I realize it'd be a very strange thing, unusual thing, for a person to come in here and have this idol and listen to the message and really hear it and say, okay, that's it. I ain't obey God. That's the day and age which in we live. But you know what? God is able. And God is able to break down human pride. And in His grace, bring us to a place of obeying God even just because He's God. And you're here tonight and you say, you know what? The Lord has definitely shown me truth tonight. That I needed. There's definitely decision that I make in my life. There is an idol in my life that you don't want God touching, you don't want the preacher touching, whatever. And the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart. That thing which you want so much you're willing to disobey God over. And you say, God showed me that idol. And tonight, I'm fleeing and casting out that idol and giving myself in submission to Jesus Christ. Say, Pastor, pray for me. That's my decision. God's worked in my life. My uplifted hand say, yep, God spoke to my heart tonight. That's the decision. Anyone here? Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay? Amen.